And I think what's on the menu project sort of showed was that, that's all great if you can do something fancy down the line, but maybe, you can just dump out the database into a series of spreadsheets and, let people download them from your website. And then people will go off and do things with the data. So I think it's that combination of, they built this tool, and it's a fairly complicated, web application to, manipulate all the images and set up all the transcriptions and save all that information to the database. They did all that work, and they said, rather than keep this to ourselves, especially because we're having people contribute their labor to actually doing the work of transcription, that we're going to turn around and give all this data away absolutely as soon as we possibly can. And the way do we achieve that is to use really simple tools and get it done. So like literally what we look at when we look at those spreadsheets are just several of the database tables behind that web application that are just being written out as spreadsheets, and then you can download them. And there's an API as well, and they use the API to build parts of the site. But actually, Katie and I spend most of our time working with the data in its spreadsheet form.
It's really interesting. It's much more of like a startup model where there's a kind of a quicker iteration of processes, and you're looking at maybe more of a minimum viable product in that instance, right? So, do you see that often, or do you find that it's rare to see that approach?
I'm encouraged that we're seeing it more and more. I mean, you've seen, art museums do it, the Cooper Hewitt, Met, a number of other places where they're publishing their collection data. And then Katie at UPenn, they've just done a big kind of release of this data that's along very similar principles.
Yeah, it's so this is a format called Open, or I guess a platform called Open, and it's really just a lot of very high quality flat files and a simple navigation system to get through it. And on the back end, of course, it's a lot of work. And so I think that the idea of like what quick simplicity looks like and the amount of work for that is also a question. Because, I know that also the people at NYPL put a lot of time into the design of things.
Right, yeah. And, one thing that we're really trying to do with this crowd consortium project is to look at even smaller institutions, maybe institutions with fewer resources, and see how we can encourage the same sort of experimentation. Do you have any thoughts on that? I don't know if it's within your world, but any thoughts on things that maybe smaller libraries and archives could try along this track?
So one idea that occurs to me, and I think I've seen this less from the end of the world that's doing big data releases of like all our collection data, because as Katie mentioned, there is a level of effort behind that. But I think it's been interesting to see institutions use social media to do they're essentially using social media to have sort of one-on-one interactions with people that they don't reach in their physical locations. And often, those could be around a kind of crowdsourcing task. I mean, so like the Smithsonian is a large institution example, but that project is really, like one or a couple people inside a massive institution. And really, like what I see when I look at what they're doing with like the Smithsonian Transcription Center is a very actually one-on-one interpersonal activity sort of through social media, where they're, it's actually not all that different than, someone emailing, a person. It's a more direct connection. So I think, a smaller institution that doesn't have the resources to maybe do something on the scale of its whole collection, but could use these kind of communication mediums of something like social media to have maybe a lot of very small interactions about, individual pieces or small groups of things, could still get valuable, input or even data and material back from the public that way, even if it's not touching the whole collection at once. So, I mean, that's just one idea that occurs to me. And I think people, like going from the menus example, where it is like the dump of the whole data set, and seeing, that a lot of the impulses of what people want to do with it are then to break it down into smaller, smaller stories and smaller sub-collections and have some kind of more focused conversation or interaction about it, suggest, that's kind of what led my mind in that direction, even though the Menus project is in many ways not like that.